What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday. It is Friday, June 19th. We're about to tell your odd but true stories. And you know what? After this week's episode, I hope that we get even more submissions from people who are either like astrology experts or something, and or have seen visions of this July and are just seeing our new transition to the new world.
Yeah, it's a brand new world that we're stepping into.
Seeing June 19th Hopefully. Made me think July 19th. Yeah. I'm like, we're like exactly a month out from the predict.
Exactly. From the predict, we're a month out. How are you going to spend this next month before?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. The aliens make themselves known above the last game of the World Cup.
Right. How are we going to spend the final days of the Empire together? We're going to do some odd but true stories. But before that, we got a text message with some imminent news, some timely news.
Not the one everyone's waiting on.
Disclosure text. They're going to text us when it happens. Aliens. It just says aliens are the letter R.
Oh,
real.
I was like, thinking of a different text.
Oh, no, no, no.
The that's text. Even,
it's just that's just a bunch of champagne bottles and celebrating
party emojis.
Fireworks.
A little smiley face like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that
Always.
Text. This text is about Crime Wave at C2027. We said a couple weeks ago it was almost sold out. Well, it's even more almost sold out now. They've got a couple cabins left, and they happen to be the most affordable staterooms that there are, including interior cabins. So if you've been sleeping on, if you want to come on board the Oasis of the Seas with us February 8th through 12th of 2027, and not just us, but Ed and Henry from Side Stories, Dan and Lindsay from Scared to Death, Paranormal Chicks, True Crime Campfire, Case File. Casey's going to be there. We're all going to just know what he looks like.
Richard from Unexplained, our buddy that we adopted into our foursome.
Love
last
Richard.
Time. We're like, you're our family now. So come go to crimewaveatsea.com, use code Sinister when you check out and get $100 off your stateroom and a meet and greet with us. And do it, I mean, imminently. They have payment plans you could do. Look at like sharing the cost with somebody. Go over to our Discord server. People are very generous with their experience, information, and knowledge over there. But it's truly a once-in-a-lifetime event because even, you know, we had 2025 and that was beautiful and wonderful in its own way. And I really had the realization when reflecting on it of like, the next time we do this, it's not the first time. Like, and it's going to be a new lineup and it's going to be new people. So it's exciting in that way that we've never done it before. Truly.
No.
We've never been on this big of a ship. We've never been with all these folks. So come experience
it
with the rest of us.
Yeah. I was thinking about how much fun the karaoke party was the other night.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I can't wait to get back to that.
All of it.
Just roaming around the ship with my strawberry daiquiri.
Yeah.
Not a care in the fucking world. Somebody. Well, I was going to say speed up time, but I think they already have. So it'll be exactly. here before you know it.
CERN's like, we heard you. Full steam ahead. So yeah, go to crimewaveandsea.com, use code SINISTER, and we'll see you on the ship. But in the meantime, my goodness, we've got a lineup of six, yet again, stories you can't expect.
No, I feel like these were even more along the lines of ones we don't expect. You know, we'll see people with similar circumstances, things they've gone through, which is always great because more people share their story. But some of these, I'm like, I think that was an original experience, friend.
He's like, this is the first time I've ever read this sentence.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Megan and is called, my best friend catfished me as her brother, faked his death, and stole my son's piggy bank. Buckle up, everybody. Megan writes, hello, you beautiful and incredible women. First, I just want to thank you both. There have been some really difficult times in my life, and Sinisterhood has been one of those rare things that can make me laugh no matter what's going on. You've gotten me through long commutes, stressful days, heartbreak, and more anxiety spirals than I can count. It sounds dramatic, but your podcast has genuinely been a source of comfort when I needed it most. So thank you for doing what you do. Thank you so much, Megan. That was beautiful. Now on to the most ridiculous crime-adjacent story I've ever experienced. It's a story involving catfishing, jealousy, a fake death, a fake inheritance, and eventually the theft of a child's piggy bank. A few years ago, I became close friends with a woman who eventually moved into my house. We'd been friends for about a year, and I trusted her completely. I knew she had siblings, but I'd never met them, which didn't seem strange at the time. One day, she started talking about one of her brothers. Eventually, I started messaging him myself. Looking back, there were plenty of red flags, but when someone you've trusted for a year tells you it's their brother, your brain doesn't immediately jump to, this entire person is fictional. The conversations continued for quite a while. Then one day, I was getting ready to go out with other friends when my roommate started texting me that her brother was seriously ill and in the hospital. At the time, I felt awful for her. Looking back, it's interesting that this emergency appeared right when I had plans that didn't involve her. Later that evening, I was driving home through an area with almost no cell service. When my phone finally connected, I received a message that her brother had died. I was shocked. I was sad. I was concerned for her family, and I was completely unaware that I was mourning a man who had never existed. After his death, things got stranger. There was no funeral, no obituary, no memorial service, no mention of family arrangements, nothing. Then came the detail that finally made my internal alarm bells start ringing. According to my friend, this man had left money behind for me and my son. Apparently, a man I had never met in person had decided I deserved part of his estate. Not only me, but my child as well. Now, maybe I'm cynical, but that felt a little suspicious. I kept waiting for a lawyer to call or email or send paperwork, or for literally any legal professional to acknowledge this inheritance existed. Nothing happened. The story just kept getting bigger and less believable. So I started checking facts. I contacted her mother. I contacted the place where this brother supposedly worked. And within 24 hours, the entire story collapsed. The only real brother she actually had was married and had a child. The brother I'd been talking to didn't exist at all. No illness, no hospitalization, no inheritance, no death, no brother. Every message had been coming from my best friend. She had created an entirely fictional person because she was jealous whenever I spent time with other people. She catfished me as her own brother. Then, when that wasn't enough, she killed him off. I'd like to point out the amount of dedication this required. I can barely keep up with my own social life. This woman was maintaining an entire fictional cast of characters. Once I verified everything, I called her. I was not particularly polite. I informed her that she and all of her belongings needed to be out of my house before I got home. Thankfully, she left. Unfortunately, she decided to make one final contribution to this story. When she moved out, she stole my son's piggy bank. To this day, I think that might be the detail that makes me laugh the hardest. Not the fake brother, not the fake death, not the fake inheritance, the piggy bank. Because apparently, after orchestrating an elaborate catfishing operation worthy of a discount true crime documentary, she decided to finish things off with petty theft. Anyway, that's my story. I still can't believe it happened. And honestly, if someone else told me this story, I would probably assume they were exaggerating. Thank you both for all the laughs, all the research, all the compassion you bring to the show, and for helping so many of us through difficult seasons of life. Keep it creepy, and definitely don't keep it imaginary, Megan.
Holy shit.
Dude, Megan, you're a better person than I that you're able to laugh this off, because this would have sent me into psychosis and then prison. Once this piggy bank's gone, that would have sent me into orbit, dude.
I probably would have, like, Carrie Underwood in the car, like, dug for my sure. key into the sun. But seriously, because it's insult on top of already insult.
Yeah.
This is so weird and pathological.
Strange. No, it's like single white female style bullshit.
It's so strange.
It's possessive, sinister. Manipulative.
My back tingles.
Yeah, like, no.
Because creepy to think about.
Like you said, if you've known someone for a year and you're quite close, if all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, this is my brother, of course no one would question it. You'd be weird to question it at that point. Well,
and especially like if you're fairly close, but not like the close enough to be like, well, why are you guys like estranged or something? You know, you don't want to be rude. So putting it like that, you know, oh, well, yeah, I haven't talked to him about it, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. But it's so creepy to think that she knows that you have plans. She knows, and that the whole time she's like, well, my Billy character is going to get her to pay attention to me. That's
crazy. It's an abusive relationship. I mean,
you don't even know
relationships
you're in.
Don't have to be between romantic partners.
Right. And the fact that you got lied to for that whole time and she said that she was your best friend, and then to steal the piggy bank, you piece of shit.
That piggy bank. Maybe I've got piggy banks on the brain because Simon accidentally dropped his yesterday and it shattered. So we're getting him a new one. If that thing or Ella's had been taken by someone, y'all don't even know. Like, y'all know me.
Yeah.
But y'all don't know me.
You don't know.
Somebody fucks with my kids.
Yeah.
That's a different me. It's a different me.
You know Christy Wallace, but you don't know, like, kick the hornet's nest Christy Wallace. You don't know Mama Bear Christy Wallace. For real, I dug my key into the side. I think that, like, sometimes when people fuck me up, I'm like, I'm going to carry Underwood your car.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to smash up. I'm going to take a Louisville Slugger to your headlights.
I'll light your yard on fire. I don't give a shit.
Exactly. I'll draw a dick in your yard with gasoline and set it ablaze.
Oh, like Jimmy Carr did in high school. just heard him talking about that story the other day. And he was like, don't do this. And then he stared directly at the camera and he said, unless you want to be a fucking legend. And I was like, you're so funny. And in that moment, hot.
Oh, yeah. He can get it, dude. Yeah. He's funny.
He's fun.
Oh, man. But yeah,
this is
wow,
crazy.
Megan.
I'm so sorry, Megan, this not happened funny. To you. And the fact that you can laugh about it says a lot about you as a person, not holding on to things, which is a great trait to have.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of growth that you have to feel that way about this person and not be like, I must plot my revenge.
I must kill them. And your pictures of your boys is the Hay Bale Heartbreakers. Mm-hmm. Love it. Definitely an album cover. And Iris are so very sweet.
Puppy.
Well, thank you so much for sending that in. And I am curious if we're going to get an influx of submissions that the same thing has happened to others. If it has, please write in. Because if we find out that there is a large group of our community that's being catfished by their own friends, I don't know what we do, but we have to do something.
No, it's chaotic. It made me think of the person that wrote into Freaky Friday about getting texts and they found out it was like a cousin eventually. Like,
yes!
Getting like weird anonymous texts and the cops are like, do you know this person? And you're like, yeah, from Thanksgiving.
And it was a female-to-female cousin, too, I think.
I thought it was a man, but I'm not sure. But
oh,
yeah.
Babe, I don't know. I feel like it was something similar to like jealousy. If you're listening and you wrote that, sorry for getting your story wrong. This one definitely sounds like I'm jealous and I'm manipulative and I'm going to do whatever I can to either get you to stay here or make you feel sorry for me and come home.
Yeah, it's so weird to be like, I'll figure out a way to manipulate this person into doing what I want rather than just like, I don't know, using words.
Yeah, no, it's not an emotionally intelligent or a stable person. So good on you for telling her, get the fuck out. And good on her for just leaving without a big thing. I mean, she did take the piggy bank, which I'll never get over that. It didn't even happen to my kid and I'll never get over that.
I'm like, the kid didn't even have anything to do with this, you fucking bitch.
And that's what pisses me off so much is that, not that she should have stole something from you, Megan.
No.
But to steal from a child, what kind of crazy ass bitch are you that you are stealing from a child? And unless there were thousands of dollars in there, would you get like 10 bucks that was worth it? Probably just as a fuck you on the way out, not even needing the money.
And you don't even think about what that does to a kid. Like, that, I mean, not that I'm saying this is like irreparably harms a kid, but it's something that they remember forever and like probably changes your, you know, thinking about like security, safety stuff in your own house and stuff. And it's like, just because you're literally off the rails, like doing off the rails kind of behavior and stuff to then just like, but somebody like that's not thinking so.
Plus they have to contend with their moms in prison for the next probably four to 5 years. And so they're not going to see me for a while, except through plexiglass window.
Exactly. Rotten piss. See you later.
That's me in jail because I've done something I shouldn't.
No,
have.
I'm just saying, but this lady.
Oh
like,
yeah.
She
should
You're
also
terrible.
Rotten piss.
Yeah. It's terrible.
R.I.P. Whoa. Did you do that on purpose?
I did.
Nice.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
We have been having hot dogs a lot lately. Because when you get home from the pool, you want to just have a hot dog and some potato chips. Just that summertime
classic
food. And the Hero Bread hot dog buns, incredible. Also, when we do burgers after the pool, Hero Bread hamburger buns, also incredible. Their sliced sandwich bread is incredible. The pasta, the croissants, I haven't had a bad thing from them.
That's the magic of Hero, too. It's just like if the days are longer, you don't have to pick what you got it right there on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And with Hero Bread, you can focus on your health goals and still indulge in the soft, fluffy experience you love. Like getting out of a pool and eating that delicious summertime hot dog, having a burger right off the grill with a fluffy, delicious bun. Have some avocado toast to start your morning off right. Their products are delicious and flavorful, but have ultra low net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and they're high in fiber. Let's get it, baby.
I'm looking for all those things, plus stuff that my kids will also eat, so we don't have to make them a separate dinner. And Hero Bread comes through every single time. They love macaroni. They love pasta in general. And the macaroni noodles from Hero Bread, fantastic. Mac and cheese night was a hit.
You would never know it's 0 to 5 grams net carbs and 11 to 32 grams of fiber from the texture. Get that soft, fluffy experience you know and love. Whether you're making a delicious breakfast on a bagel or toasting up the big old protein bagel to put some cream cheese, some get you some everything spread, the everything seasoning. Man, it's so good. All your favorite recipes are covered with Hero Bread, sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, noodles. They got it.
Small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular 2 gram net carb Hero Croissant and 3 gram net carb Hero. Oh,
Pano
I'm sorry. Chocolat. Is this a new product?
Sounds like
Pano
it.
Pano Chocolat?
Get your Pano Chocolat.
Oh, I'm very excited. I have not tried the Hero Pano Chocolat and I will be imminently.
Happy summer. It's Pano Chocolat time. Hero Bread is offering 10% off of your order. Go to hero.co and use code creepy at checkout. That's creepy at hero.co.
Well, this next one is from your daughter. And they might know something about what's going on out in New Mexico. This one's called Missing Scientist Adjacent. First, let me start by saying I've been a longtime listener, and I wish that I had found your podcast sooner. You both are lights in this crazy world. Thank you for the information, spooks, and laughter through these rough years. I'm keeping this story anonymous because, well, the times. I would be interested to know if this story inspires anyone to respond, however. I waited to write this out until I listened to your full series on the missing scientist. I wanted to see if it triggered any other memories for me. You see, I grew up in New Mexico in the 90s, and y'all, there were always bizarre happenings going on. I can send more stories if you like this one. It was the summer of 2000, and I was going into my senior year of high school. What a wild time that was. Between work and band camp, a summer staple, I somehow found time to attend that year's session of New Mexico Girls State. For those of you that don't know, Girls State and Boys State is an intensive political, quote, camp sponsored by the American Legion. Each state has a session, and two boys and two girls from each high school are chosen to attend. The selection process is full of essays and interviews, and it is portrayed as a foot in the door for scholarships and grants. Needless to say, it was full of young girls vying to get into good schools, sororities, and girls looking at future political careers. It truly was an incredible experience, but looking back, I wonder if it was feeding something sinister. We were young girls on the campus of a university in the middle of the desert. What could go wrong? As I'm sure they all are, the session was intense, full of political jargon and information. We were assigned to dorm rooms called cities. Of course, those cities were broken up into made-up counties and a made-up state. We then were told to run for office of these cities, counties, and state. As you can guess, it quickly devolved into a popularity contest, with the popular girls getting elected to office and the rest of us being their supporters. One of the girls that wasn't as popular, neither was I for the record, was often left out of stuff. This girl was quiet and really kept to herself, so it wasn't surprising that she wasn't elected to anything. What made her significant, though, was her father's job. According to her, he was a scientist at Los Alamos Labs with fairly high clearance. There were girls from all over the state, so none of us questioned this. However, one night, in the middle of the week, she just disappeared. The only thing that was left behind were symbols that had been painted in glow-in-the-dark paint all over her dorm room. We didn't know what they were at the time, but now I know they were runes and other arcane symbols. We were all told that she ran away that night. And the worst part is, we just accepted that. The camp went on as if she was never there. Why didn't we question it more? Where did she go? The desert? I've periodically thought about this through the years and felt guilt that we didn't question it more. But now, with everything coming out about Epstein's ranch in New Mexico and all the scientists disappearing, I feel even more guilty. Where is she? Is her disappearance connected somehow? 43-year-old me can't help but feel that all us girls were witness to something. But what? What do you think? Are these just coincidences, or do you think that something happened to her while we all slept soundly in our dorm rooms? All I can say is, I hope she's okay. Stay safe, everyone. Well, this is some Law and Order shit. You walk into a room and you turn off the lights and you see just these glowing symbols all over the room. In fact, I think we did an escape room where that was one of the themes in a room.
It really does. It gives this, like, when something esoteric is mixed with something true crime, it really does give this, like, but was it like a weird, creepy person that believes this that did it? Or was it the thing that they believe in that did it, and why and how? And I think there's something to be said about, like, the political connection of it being like, you know, we're trying to, raise the next generation of leaders. And I saw, and it's one of those two where, much like, you know, the school pictures, is there a legitimate aspect to it? Sure, there's a legitimate aspect to it. But is there some weird, someone's keeping an eye on the list somewhere? Maybe. And it's similar with, like, the GATE program. Like, I think all over the country, there are plenty of gifted and talented, like, normal programs. But people have been posting, like, photos of these binders that they have called, like, The Star Inside You by Phyllis Edwards. And it sounds like remote viewing and manifestation training. And I'm like, where were these? Like, what school was this at?
I didn't get one.
Rude. I didn't get one either. I'm like, where was I? Mesquite? This was in Monterey, California, which, again, you go like, oh, there's like a military installation near there where they have linguistics programs. All that to say, if you're in a place like this where it's like, we're training the next generation of political leaders, you don't know who's watching or who's around or who's there for the training.
No, and I don't like anywhere in the desert because, like you said, Anonymous, where'd she go? The desert. Like, you run away okay, there's nothing to run to. So maybe we should get some helicopters out and start looking for her. Or, I don't know, call her dad that works at the lab.
Yeah, especially if it's like Epstein style where they're like, well, there's something 10 miles this direction and 12 miles this direction. Otherwise, question mark, where'd they go? So that's eerie, man. Yeah, the symbols, I'm going to be thinking about these symbols for a minute.
Yeah, and Anonymous, I know this was so long ago. If you happen to, once you realize, oh, those were runes, if you remember what any of them look like, write it down, draw it out, because I got to know what this, what it all meant. And maybe we can parse something together. Even if it's like just what, like, oh, I think this one had a line with some lines coming off again. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Better than nothing. We could have something to go off of. And I think there is something to ancient, whether it's like Sumerian or ancient runes and symbols and images when put in the right way with the right intention. Who knows what happens? So, yeah, who knows? Maybe she got herself out of that camp. She was like, I'm done with this. I'm going to make a portal. Fuck it.
She just teleported to another realm. Well, thank you so much for sending that one in. We'll all be thinking about that for the foreseeable future.
It's creepy as fuck. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. My husband was out of town for 5 days, and when he finally got home, he stayed in a relatively nice hotel on this work trip, and when he got back, man, he slid into our bed and was just like, oh, these sheets are so soft, and it was cool, and it was comfortable, and it was nice after his long, terrible overnight flight that he didn't get to sleep on, and man, that when you come home, there's nothing better to that. Summer bedding, it's breathable and lightweight, so you're not like, I just got back and I'm in my own sweat. It's just like that soft cotton, baby.
Oh, everything on our bed is Boll & Branch, from our sheets to the waffle blanket atop the flat sheet. And then atop the waffle blanket is our new dream comforter that is so soft and just the perfect weight for Texas right now. It's great. And then I also have a duvet and a duvet cover from them too. And it's the best feather duvet I've ever had. It's so comfortable. Like I get kicked out of the bed quite a bit because the children are like, but your bed is so much more comfortable. I'm like, I know, I designed it that way.
You're like, I hooked it up. It really, man, the comfort of pulling it up. I have the signature. When I pull it up over my shoulder at night, I'm like, I'm tucking myself in. And this is what I needed. Sleep cooler this summer with Boll & Branch during their annual summer event. For a limited time, get 20% off site-wide at bollandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy.
That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com/creepy, code creepy to take 20% off. bollandbranch.com/creepy, code creepy. Exclusions apply. Well, speaking of creepy, this next one is from Emily. And is called That Time Pigeon and I Caught a Creeper at the Park. Hello, ladies. Big love to you and all you do, and all the Sinisterhood fam, too. I'm still steaming mad about this because it just happened yesterday. And listening to Freaky Friday today at work, I told myself, that's it. I'm writing in. Let's get into it. It started like a normal trip to the dog park. The weather is warming up big time here in Portland, Oregon, and the people are enjoying it while they can. One of those people was a young lady, I'd say in her early 20s, enjoying a sunbathing session with her very adorable, very good boy dog. She was wearing a bikini and lying on her back, just soaking up the sun. I remember thinking, gosh, I'd really love to do that exact thing this weekend, and walked into the dog park with my dog, Pigeon. Yes, that Pigeon. Hi, Sunday Scaries fam. After Pigeon seemed to have exercised her demons for the evening, we exited the dog park. The dog park is at the bottom of a larger human park on a mountain with hiking trails and trees, lake-like water reservoirs, etc. There is a small grassy area with scattered trees just outside the fenced-off dog park area. This is where the young woman was hanging out, and my car happened to be parked on the road just past the grass. As we were walking out of the dog area, I noticed a man standing sort of in the tree line. He was next to the cars parked on the road, facing the woman, and he had his phone out and pointed in her direction. I looked over at the woman and noticed she was sunning her back and was slightly turned on her side, petting her dog. Her back was to me and this man. I looked back at the guy and saw that he was tilting his phone in a way that wouldn't be normal if he were texting or looking at his phone. I knew he was using his phone to either film or take pictures of this woman. I casually walked up so that I was standing in between him and the woman. I stood and I stared at him. He immediately put his phone in his pocket. I guess he didn't like the looks of me. Turned and walked in the opposite direction to his car. White Audi, dealer plate. I quickly walked over to the girl, just close enough so she would hear me without me shouting. "Do you know that man in the white Audi?" I asked. "No, I don't," she replied. She was obviously confused, and my voice cracked as I spoke because I knew I was ruining her delightfully innocent afternoon. "I'm so sorry. I think that man was watching you, and he had his phone pointed at you. He walked away when I stared at him. I'm so sorry." Her face fell immediately. I felt so horrible walking away to my car. I was so pissed. How dare he? I started my car and drove up the little road to turn around and get out of the park. He drove past me in the opposite direction toward the exit, and my blood boiled. I decided to follow him when I got turned around to make sure he left the park. He had not. He parked his car in a spot with a direct eyeline to this woman. He had his seat leaned back and again had his phone up and pointed in her direction. Fuck it. I was about to ruin this guy's day too. Skirt! I stopped my car next to his and shout, "Are you filming her?" He looked at me with a stupid red face, sweaty and eyes glazed. "There's people walking by. They're looking at us." And I shouted louder, "Are you filming her on your phone?" He, too quickly, responded with, "No, I'm picking up my daughter from a party." I said, "Why is your phone pointed at her? You moved your car for what? You're still looking over there at her. What the fuck are you doing? Why'd you walk away when I caught you filming her, huh?" At this point, Pigeon was losing her mind, barking in the back seat. I couldn't hear what he was yelling back at me. And now there were about 10 people looking in our direction, and I saw the woman and her dog were packing up to leave. I drove away, shaking, raging, slightly embarrassed. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized if someone asked me if I was filming someone and I truly had no idea what the hell they were talking about, I'd be like, "What? What are you talking about?" I would not immediately have some alibi at the ready. My gut feeling got stronger. Why did he quickly walk away because I was looking at him? Why did he move his car maybe 100 feet from where he was parked originally after he thought I'd driven away? I'm so glad that I trusted that icky feeling in the pit of my stomach when I saw him holding his phone like that. It all felt so wrong, and I still can't explain that away as innocent behavior, even if he was waiting for his kid. I just felt so bad that I had to tell her what he was doing. The violation of knowing someone was watching you. I know it all too well, and the older I get, the more it enrages me to see men behaving in such ways. Especially in our current hellscape and lack of justice for survivors, they think they're entitled to our bodies, and they think no consequences will come from their actions. Well, I'm here to say it. It might have been uncomfortable, but I'm glad I yelled at that fucking creep, and I'm gonna yell at the next one. The next man who stares too long as the high school girls walk by, the next man who whistles or catcalls someone in my presence, I no longer have the patience for men who act like that. Fuck them. I've also recently considered carrying a baseball bat in my car for these kind of encounters. Hopefully I'll never need it. But 3 months ago, I wished I'd had one in my car because I saw a man screaming at a woman at a bus stop, and her left eye was swollen shut and bruised. And the way she flinched with every, and the way she flinched with his every word broke my heart. I didn't feel safe stopping to intervene, and I've thought about it every day since. I think of her, I hope she's okay, and I hang my head in shame for not at least stopping. Never again. See something, say something. Anyway, here's a little palate cleanser. I've been meaning to write in about my partner, who passed away on June 20th, 2016. The spooky, sweet things that happened after his passing, and just about how cool he was in general. He was a tall ship captain, cross-country moto riding, wild man, and I miss him every day. We scattered his ashes at the dinosaurs in Cabazon and fired some of his ashes out of the cannon of his ship in Dana Point, California. He sent little signs that helped me laugh instead of cry. And I think y'all would have gotten a real kick out of his spooky ghost stories of old ships and the deep sea. Love y'all. Keep it creepy, but remember to call out the creeps.
I took a Louisville Slugger to both headlights. I'm just kidding. Don't get the baseball out. And
I mean, the you know, I think having a bat in your car in case you drive by like the batting cages and you want to stop and practice your swing isn't a bad idea.
I got from a truck stop a wooden tire thumper that has a metal ball bearing in it that's a little bit more easy to handle than a bat to thump my tires.
Sometimes you need to thump your tires.
I got to thump my tires. Yeah. I keep it within hand's reach right behind my driver's seat in case I need to quickly thump my tires. Mm-hmm. But I was at a pool, at the public pool, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And there was two little girls behind me, and they were maybe like 8 and 10. And a guy in the aquatic workout area that was like older and was just staring at these two little girls. Mm-mm. I didn't like it. And so I was fixing to start my lap again. So instead, I just stood in between him and the girls. And I just was like unblinking, just staring at him. And then I looked over my shoulder at the little girls. And then I turned back and I just stared at him. And then I just kept staring at him until
he
got ashamed.
Did he stare at you?
He was staring at the little girls and didn't look quite like slightly looked down, saw me, and then like was like, I wasn't looking. Like Emily said, okay, if I was like, are you filming that lady? And he's like, no, I was on Candy Crush on my phone. What mm-hmm. are you saying? But to be like, no, it's like they're stupid enough to be criminals and too stupid to get away from the crime, like get away with the crime. And you know, your results may vary. I'm not telling you what to do in your everyday life, but I'm with Emily. I'm fucking sick of it. And so mm-hmm. I'll make eye contact. And if he would have said something or walked over, done more than that. And the kid's mom wasn't far, but the two little girls were staying and talking to, I don't know, one of the lifeguards, one of the workers or something. But it was like, they're in their bathing suits. It's mm-hmm. little kids. You've considered them. They're not in danger. They weren't screaming. It wasn't drama. Like, why are you staring at them?
Yeah.
So I'm done too. So shout out to Emily. Yeah. I probably would have done what you would have did. Again, not a recommendation for anybody. Don't give yourself such a hard time for not saying something at the DV situation. Those are extremely volatile. Police officers will tell you, be careful about intervening in one of those. So you don't feel bad about that at all. You don't know.
No need to feel shame for that. I mean, if you're not safe to stop and help, and this is for anybody, you shouldn't stop and help. I mean, call the police if that's an option. I think I would have also done this. If I see a man actively filming a woman that knows she's not mm-hmm. 100,
I would say something.
I'm walking up and being like, what? What are you doing? What's going on here? And
do you know her?
I'll also make a fucking scene and mm-hmm. start yelling in front of everybody because I don't really give a shit. And if I go viral because somebody's filming me doing that, then I went out doing what I loved, screaming at a man.
Boom. I'm like, guess what? No press is bad press. Guess what? Dallas D Magazine's best podcast of 2025 host, Christy Wallace, berates a man for being a pervert. Everybody be like, yeah, she did. Of course she did. Check the reviews. This is what we do.
I hope that's what lands me our Rolling Stone feature. That's how we finally get it.
Absolutely. She became part of the story when she saw a pervert at a park. And they're like, we interviewed her co-host and said, you're goddamn right. Listen to our episodes. We tell you, this is the beginning of the matriarchy. So Mama. Perverts, beware. Mama, I just killed a man. Put a gun against
his
head.
Put my tire thumper against his head. But really, though, if you think that this is a time where that's still okay.
We're done.
I'm here to tell you it's not, and we should all call it out, especially children. If you and I mean, we're at the pool a lot, and I love pools if it's a private pool that I can relax and enjoy myself because I don't have to have my head on a constant swivel that somebody's going to snatch my child or take pictures of them or something. But yeah, it's a real bummer. Because you look around, you're like, man, all these kids are just being kids and enjoying having a day at the pool. And then our adult brains are like, yeah, and there are some people here that are looking at this in a different way.
Right. That's that was on a girls trip. And I was the non-parent, the fun aunt. And I was like, my job as the fun aunt, I don't have a kid to go back to. So it's to get into a fight on behalf of these other kids if I have to. You know what I mean? It's
what
like we got
to
take care of each other
on a vacation is get into a fight with a man over children.
When you're in a beach in Oklahoma City, ain't nothing else to do but that.
Beach,
bury yourself up.
Putting it nicely.
I was like, I think this sand came from a construction site. But if you want a beach in Oklahoma City, there's going to be tornadoes. That's just how it is. But I think you did the right thing, Emily. And like I said, I'm not giving anybody recommendations to do this because you could get in, you know, a perilous situation. You feel it out yourself. But if you had 10 to 12 other adults that were almost like got your back, but they're kind of all watching as well, that if some guy's going to go wacko on you, you know, they might step in. But as for
bystander, he was going wacko on himself with his seat leaned back and his phone pointed at her.
Nah,
you can't convince me otherwise.
And also, don't feel bad that you quote unquote ruined this girl's day. You didn't ruin shit. The pervert ruined it. So fuck that guy and ruin his day in retribution. I think you did the right
thing. It's all his fault. And I don't think you made her day better in the sense of the word, but you informed her, which is exactly what I would want to happen if I was that girl. If somebody is filming me and I don't know it, especially if it's in a sexual way to them, I would love for somebody to come up and tell me that. And I'm sure she appreciated it very much. As upsetting as it must be, at least she didn't continue laying there while he's jerking off, you know, 10 feet from her.
And unknowingly being the subject of some weirdo pervert. So good for you for interviewing and good for Pigeon for getting the bark on and being like, I'll get you from the back seat.
And your partner sounds amazing. He sounds like a very cool dude that we would have loved to speak to. If you know of any of his old stories from the ships in the deep sea, I'd love to hear him. That same thing goes for the story before this from Anonymous. You said, if we like this one, you could send us more. Yes, please. Please send more missing scientist adjacent stories or anything else that you have.
And shout out to Emily and thank you to your partner for introducing us posthumously and also giving me an idea of my what I may want happen to me whenever I pass on to be fired out of a tall ship. That sounds incredible.
That's next to a Viking funeral. I think that's one of the cooler ways you can go out for sure.
Hell yeah.
Well, thank you again for sending that in.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Hola, let me ask you something. You want your car to last longer, run smoother, perform better? Tranquilo, I'm talking about your engine. Te tengo algo bueno. Seafoam motor treatment. It helps your engine run smoother y durar más. Y es facilito. Just pour it into your gas tank y ya está. It works while you drive. No extra steps. If your ride is off, no power, rough idle, or guzzling gas, Seafoam is an easy first step to bring that performance back. Pa' que rinda mejor, smooth, y con power. Trusted by mechanics for over 75 years. ¿Qué esperas? Pick up a can today at your favorite auto parts store. Seafoam. Pour it in and power on. De nada.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, this next one is from Liz, and the subject line is, did my dog get me abducted by aliens? Hello, Christy, Heather, and all you sinister hoodlums listening at home. Liz Prince here, Jared Leto's favorite cartoonist from the Freaky Friday story about meeting him at a recording studio in 2004. I'm writing in today with my alien abduction story on the heels of your celebrity extraterrestrial encounters episode. The year was 1999 or 2000, I can't quite remember, but I know I was freshly out of high school, didn't have a curfew, and spent most of my nights out with friends in Santa Fe, New Mexico, until 2 or 3 a.m. On one such night, I got home around that time to find my family's dog, Tess, whining to be let out. She had never done that before, but being a shitty 17-year-old, I decided she could wait 2 or 3 more hours for my dad to get up and take her for a walk. I went into my bedroom and closed the door when Tess began scratching at the door and crying, another thing she had never done. So I relented, realizing this must be a serious bathroom emergency. I clipped on her leash, and out we went into the New Mexico night. I lived in a suburb of Santa Fe, and there were very few houses out on our dirt road, no neighbors to speak of, and our driveway was about 100 feet long. When we got to the top of the driveway, instead of doing her business, Tess began loudly whining and began pulling hard on her leash back toward the house. This is when everything disappeared in what I can only explain as a whiteout. It was like an extremely blinding light blotted out my vision. Suddenly, I was standing at the bottom of my driveway with no recollection of having walked back down there. Tess was curled in on herself, balled up against the closed gate to our courtyard, shaking violently. I got us back inside as quickly as I could and tried to put the incident out of my mind. When I've told people this story over the years, I get a mixed response that I was either abducted by aliens or I had a neurological event and my dog was trying to warn me, which I mistook for her needing a walk. In 2010, I had to have a brain scan MRI to try to diagnose some severe migraine symptoms. There was no evidence of having had any kind of prior brain injury or trauma. This isn't 100% evidence that it wasn't a neurological event, but my dog's involvement is the thing that leans more heavily toward ET encounter for me. In retrospect, I don't think she was crying because she needed to use our giant sprawling field of an outdoor toilet. I think she knew that something was out there, and at first she was curious, then later, terrified. I also had another encounter in 2009. This time, I was visiting a friend's family in rural Maine. I was in the guest bedroom, and through a mirror on the wall, I could see a bright light in the sky outside. I got up and walked to the window, and the next thing I can recall is being back in the bed, seeing the same light retreating into the distance. So, what do you think? Am I an otherworldly being's lab experiment that they just decided to check up on? Am I just having mental blackouts? Maybe I should have written this in as a Judge Christie so she can make a ruling on whether or not I've been abducted by aliens. The end.
Well, Liz, I don't know. It's,
yeah,
I've been searching submissions because I swear a story almost identical to this was submitted years ago. So if you were listening and you had a similar event to this, please resubmit your story because I am scouring the annals trying to figure out because it was almost an exact same thing. Took the dog out, blacked out. Next thing you know, you're on the driveway and the dog's losing their mind. And dogs and all animals know stuff. You and I, every night out back, we're like, look to the animals. They know when something is wrong. Like when we saw those herons flying around here, they shouldn't be around here. We're like, why are you here?
Like go by the water. No, I agree. And especially being Santa Fe, you're like 30 miles from Los Alamos. Mm-hmm. Like God knows what's going on in underground facilities or testing, getting out, stuff getting out. I don't know.
But Mexico is a wild place, dude.
I want to go. I feel like I want to like feel the energy there and see like, I'm like, why is the government so into you? Yeah. Why are they so obsessed with you? And I'm sure it has to do with ancient people that were on the land before they were ousted. But
we went on a school trip in, I think it, 7th or 8th grade to White Sands, New Mexico. And, you know, I was in middle school, so that was cool. And I think I've been to Taos, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, is that where Ski Apache is? Maybe.
For skiing in Taos, definitely.
Yeah. But that both times were forever ago. So I'd love to go back and really appreciate it for what it is and the beauty and the beyond that it holds.
Right, what's going on in those mountains for sure. Yeah, I think the whiteout, there's something to do with that. And we just told y'all have now heard our interview with Chilluminati. We told them about our blackout experience, the snap. So it's like a white version of that. Or like Sammy Hagar said, when he came to and that there were the beings were telepathically communicating to him, it felt like a big white flash, like the whole room went white. So maybe there is something to that of like some sort of energetic blast of them getting in your brain, getting out of your brain.
Earlier, I said one of the stories we're reading today, the same thing happened to me in a dream the other night. And okay. That was it.
It's this one?
The whiteout.
You got whited out?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I was in a dream and it had something to do with other life forms. And all of a sudden it was just like white. And then there was a child. And I don't remember much after that, but it was definitely, I did not feel positive in the dream.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
People always say when you're reflecting back on dreams, don't write about how you feel about it now, but like how in the dream did you feel?
That's a good tip. I have not had that because I think in retrospect, you know, waking up, I'm like, that's weird. I shouldn't have dreamt that or whatever. You're like start applying conscious, you know, whether rules logic or feelings to it. Damn, that's a good point.
No, it is, because sometimes I'll be really upset about a dream and then I'll reflect back and I'm like, oh, well, in the dream, I wasn't upset about that, or vice versa. So it's kind of just an interesting, more insight into your psyche. This is wild, though. I mean, could it have been a neurological event? Sure. You had a bunch of tests done, so it doesn't seem like that. It also seems like since your dog was freaking out that there was something else going on there. I don't know.
It's like us having each other when the blackout happened. It's like, well, it wasn't just me. We both did it at the same time. So if anybody's listening has had either a whiteout situation like this, or if you're a medical professional and this sounds like something familiar, like write us in and let us know. But I think you're not alone. I think people.
None of us are.
No. But Liz, specifically with your whiteout situation, I think at least Sammy Hagar, you're in good company with Sammy Hagar.
We all are, aren't we?
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Hola, let me ask you something. You want your car to last longer, run smoother, perform better? Tranquilo, I'm talking about your engine. Te tengo algo bueno. Seafoam motor treatment. It helps your engine run smoother y durar más. Y es facilito. Just pour it into your gas tank y ya está. It works while you drive. No extra steps. If your ride is off, no power, rough idle, or guzzling gas, Seafoam is an easy first step to bring that performance back. Pa que rinda mejor, smooth, y con power. Trusted by mechanics for over 75 years. ¿Qué esperas? Pick up a can today at your favorite auto parts store. Seafoam, pour it in and power on. De nada.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, this next one is from Anonymous. And the subject line is, my husband, the sleep paralysis demon. Hi, ladies. I am quite frankly obsessed with this podcast. You guys are so funny whilst also being deeply kind and respectful. And your takes are never wrong. I could wax lyrical forever, but let's get into it. So, setting the scene. I fell pregnant quite young while still at uni. Unexpected and not ideal time-wise, but my now husband and I decided we were going to make it work. During my pregnancy, we were living in a tiny rundown flat with these huge glass sliding doors next to our bed that led out onto a balcony ledge. The balcony always gave me the creeps, so I insisted on sleeping on the side of the bed farthest from the window. However, as my belly grew and our baby started kicking, my night sweats became so unbearable, I had no choice but to take the window door side as it was the cooler option. It was the dead of night when I woke up to the sound of the balcony door sliding. I opened my eyes to see my partner stepping in. I could only see a silhouette, but I could tell it was him by the long ringlets and height. My husband has very curly, long black hair, which, alongside being 6'5" tall, makes him quite distinctive, even in the dark. I was about to tell him off for scaring me and to ask him what he was doing out on our very, very unsafe, rusty balcony. Before I could say anything, he leant down as if he were going to kiss me. But instead, he pressed down hard on my chest, pinning me to the bed. I thought he was playing at first, but as the pressure increased, I realized something was very wrong. He is the kindest, gentlest human on the planet. What was going on? He was pressing my chest so hard, it hurt to breathe. I tried to fight against him, and it was then I realized I was completely paralyzed. I could not move at all, but the baby in my womb was going crazy. I could feel the baby flipping around like my uterus was on a spin cycle. I tried to scream. I couldn't. The only part of my body I could move was my eyes. Rolling my eyes to the side, I was horrified to see the beautiful curly head of my partner sleeping soundly beside me. So who or what was attacking me? I will never know, because after what felt like a lifetime, but must have only been seconds, I managed to scream. My boyfriend, the sleeping version, turned on the light to see what was wrong. As soon as the light flicked on, whatever pinned me was gone. Years later, I still think about this and shiver. We now live on the other side of England, so very far away from that tiny flat and spooky balcony. But it's not something I will ever forget. Funnily enough, that baby in my womb, my oldest child, has a sleep disorder. His sleepwalking became such a problem, we ended up needing to get his sleep studied and have specialists helping us navigate his sleepwalking and insomnia. To this day, at almost 9 years old, he has never slept through the night. I don't know. It makes me wonder about that night, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I've had a memory unlocked that I'll share in a second. I wanted to start, though, by saying that I'm sorry you're going through that with your sweet boy. Whether it's tied to this or not, one of the hardest fucking things in the early months and years of parenting is getting them to fucking sleep. I mean, even still, it's like every night is a battle, and the getting up and constant coming out, and to never have slept through a full night means you're not getting a full night's rest. And that, you know, his little body doesn't need to be going through all that.
No, not at all. It's okay for Ben Franklin, but he was a crazy old man. This is like a kid, you know, it's like you really do need that rest. And I feel like that affects so many things, but good for you for getting them specialists and, you know, sleep studies and all we can do. It's much like with your gut microbiome, where my doctor was like, we don't really exactly know. It's like with sleeping like that. Like, we can do these interventions, but at the core of it, it's like the mechanism of actually sleeping. And speaking of mechanisms, of what the fuck actually happened to you while you thought your freaking husband's asleep and he's on top of you? Like,
it does sound like sleep paralysis in the sense that you felt couldn't move, but you could move your eyes. So for mine and your own mental health, I'd like to say that you were having a nightmare and it manifested that way.
Yeah.
I remembered from this just now, I've talked before about what I thought was sleep paralysis and feeling like there was a entity over me sucking my soul out of my mouth. And now I just had a flash of remembering that I was outside of my body when I saw that. Like, I was on the bed and then laying perpendicular above me was this form of mist sucking something out of my mouth. And I couldn't, like, do anything about it. It just stopped eventually.
God, it's like fucking succubus kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so
the idea of, like, shape-shifting to get close to you, or, like, a doppelganger with nefarious intentions, or God, what a memory to be locked away, much less to unlock at any time.
I've had a lot of unlocked memories happen lately. So
nice.
That's also saying we don't really know how it works. Same with EMDR therapy.
Right.
They're like, honestly, we don't really know. But bilateral stuff, when you're doing this thing and doing that,
it helps.
It helps rewire your brain. And then things work differently. And I think that has been one of the reasons that I've, like, just had random memories unlocked, not even something spurring them. I'll just be like, oh my God, I completely forgot about going to this place, like this vacation with someone, you know what I mean? Like, a chunk of time will just come, like, rushing back to me.
That's badass, though. I mean, it's probably overwhelming, but if you had been not trying to, but it's like, God, I hadn't thought about that in years. Something like that can be very satisfying when it comes back around. So, well, as far as this thing, I'm not sure if this is a, like you said, for our own sanity so that I can sleep tonight. This sounds like it was just some sort of a sleep issue, but folklorically speaking, I mean, there's a lot of different folklore traditions that have the idea of, like, a doppelganger or a succubus or similar entities that are trying to come and do God knows what. And thankfully, it sounds like you woke up and screamed before it could get any further. But yeah, the other night when I was, Paris was out of town and Philly just started barking at the air and looking around the bedroom as if she was, her eyes were following something moving. I was like, nope, nope. Your job is to get rid of that thing. Don't. It's like a fly. I need you to catch ghosts and I need you to catch flies. Thanks. That's why you live here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Oakland. Thank you for sending that in and well wishes for you and your little boy, all of y'all, because sleep deprivation affects the whole family, not just the person that it's actually happening to.
For sure. So sweet dreams to everybody. Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
All right, quick question. You trying to make your car or truck last longer or what?
Low-key, yeah. Mine's been acting a little sus lately.
Same. Rough idle, no power, and my gas mileage, don't even ask.
Yeah, I got you all. Seafoam motor treatment.
Wait, that's the one you just pour in the tank, right?
Exactly. Just pour in el tanque de gasolina y ya quedó. Let it run while you drive, así nomás.
No tools, fácil, anyone can do it.
Haz el trabajo al 100.
Okay. I like that because my car has been feeling kind of tired.
Same, like it's not hitting like it used to.
That's usually dirty fuel system stuff. Gunk, buildup, totally messes with the performance. Seafoam is an easy first step to clean that out and bring it back.
So, smoother ride, better power,
and better miles per gallon.
And it's not new. Mechanics have trusted Seafoam for over 75 years.
75 años? That's legit stuff.
Millions of people use it every day to keep engines running strong.
So yeah, if your ride feels off,
you already know what to do pa estar al 100.
Pick up a can today at your favorite auto parts store.
Seafoam. Pour it in and power on.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, this final one is from Lexi, and the subject line is Snake Mystery. And content warning, it discusses the loss of a pet. Hello, Sinister Ladies. I have been waiting to submit this one until I could get the first-hand account from my best friend Mel. She gave me permission to share it, so here we go. This story is in her own words. This happened sometime around 2017 or 2018. I was driving from San Diego to San Francisco to visit my best friend Lexi. It was our freshman year of college. At the time, I had a Western hog-nosed snake named Jafar. He lived in a secure enclosure at my dad's house. While I was on the road, my mom stopped by my dad's place for some reason. My parents are divorced, but they've always gotten along well and would occasionally visit each other, so that wasn't unusual. Later that day, my mom called me. She told me she had found a snake outside her house. Not just any snake. It looked exactly like Jafar. He was a pretty distinctive little Western hognose, so she recognized him immediately. Unfortunately, by the time she found him, her boyfriend's dog had already killed him. None of it made any sense. When I eventually checked, Jafar was gone from his enclosure at my dad's house. The cage wasn't damaged. The lid was still closed. Nothing looked disturbed. There was no obvious way he could have escaped. So now we had this impossible situation. Somehow, my snake had vanished from a closed enclosure at my dad's house and ended up outside my mom's house, miles away, on the exact same day she happened to visit my dad. Naturally, I tried to figure out what happened. The only explanation I could come up with was that somehow my mom accidentally transported him. But that doesn't really make sense either. You don't accidentally remove a snake from a secured enclosure, put it in your purse, drive home, and then accidentally release it outside. That's not exactly something that happens without noticing. And my mom loves animals. As eccentric as she can be, I never believed she would intentionally do something like that. Over the years, I've asked her about it multiple times because I could never let the mystery go. Every time, she insisted she had no idea what happened and seemed genuinely confused about why I was still asking. To this day, I still have no explanation. The cage was closed. The snake was gone. Somehow, he appeared miles away at my mom's house on the exact day she visited my dad's. Every once in a while, the story pops back in my head because I still cannot figure out a logical explanation. The whole thing feels less like a pet escape story and more like an unsolved paranormal mystery. What do you think happened?
I haven't stopped thinking about this since I read it. I know, Lexi, I don't know if your friend's listening. So earmuffs, Lexi's friend, if you don't want to hear this, the mom had to have taken the snake, right?
Well, my theory was like, and this sounds, I won't say far-fetched, but I was Googling hognose, a Western hognose, like, is it easy for them to get out of their enclosure? And apparently they can escape, I won't say like easily, but it's not like unheard of for them to escape out of like small, if this enclosure really was like 100% locked down, but if there was any like crack, crease, a screen, maybe the snake got out and was already like loose in the yard when your mom pulled up. And then
the snake would have had to get out of the house.
That's it. It would have had to have been out of the house. And that's the only thing I can't figure out is if, it, you know, I think if you open the door and a snake comes at you, you would notice. So if the snake was somehow, if dad's away and mom comes over and the snake was already out and then it climbs up into mom's car somehow and then she gets home. But it sounds like it was sitting in the driveway when she already got home. That's what I can't come up with. Like,
I think respectfully, we're giving this snake a lot of credit for being able to get in and out of things and open doors and whatnot.
It's very Toy Story sounding when I put it together. I'm like, did the aliens grab him? He flies off. He's got to grab it back. A helicopter comes.
My explanation is probably more sinister than that. Because Occam's razor, the mom took the snake. I mean, unless it was out, nobody noticed it was out.
Mm-hmm.
Because wouldn't the mom have said, oh, the cage is empty when she got there if the snake wasn't in it, you know?
That's my question, too, is like, how much did she check the house? Because if it's like, oh, there's a snake in the back room and she just went in to get the mail off the front table and then went out. But if it's like, oh, the snake's in the living room and I visited with your dad for a half an hour and then I left. And then by the time I got home, it was waiting already dead on the lawn.
Was it dead when paranormal. She got home?
Well, it said my mom called me. She told me later that day, my mom called me. She told me she found a snake outside her house. It looked like Jafar. By the time she found him, my boyfriend's dog had already killed him. Or do you think?
Ding, ding, ding. The boyfriend is involved in this.
Oh, her boyfriend's dog.
In my sinister theory, the boyfriend was either with the mom during this visit or told the mom, get that snake. And the reasoning, I don't know. Maybe this is complete wrong speculation. A lot of times, though, in relationships, if there's an ex that someone regularly communicates with and the current boyfriend doesn't like that, they do abusive things to make that known. Even if that looks like getting your girlfriend's daughter's snake and letting your dog have a round with it.
That's strange. Yeah. Or if there was some kind of accident situation of like, oh, I had a reusable grocery bag and it got into it or whatever.
Or climbed in her purse maybe. But I don't know. How big are these things?
And how big is the purse?
Yeah. Unless you've got a tote bag and this is like a foot long snake. I don't know how. Even then, snakes can just kind of like be places. Like if it did crawl into her bag, it could just like curl up and you wouldn't even notice, which is terrifying. Now I'm going to have a new fear anytime I reach my hand into a bag that the snake's going to be in there. But it just doesn't. So then it would have had to got home. She puts her purse down. It crawls out, makes its way out into the yard somehow, and then or the dog gets it inside, takes it outside.
Yeah, somehow the dog was involved there. Well, also, I just Googled Western hognose snake escape, which sounds like a fun ride I would go on at Six Flags. But in the subreddit community, someone said, what's the deal with escapees? Another person said they live to sneak, to snoop, to hide, and to investigate. All of this makes them expert escape artists. So maybe they're known more for escaping. There's a lot of questions of like, my Western hognose escaped, my Western hognose escaped. When they're babies, they're pretty small.
Well,
that's like how
I know your friend said the cage and his enclosure didn't look disturbed, but if they are as good of an escape artist as like, they don't need much. So it might not have looked disturbed, but if there's like a little crack, it squeezed through or something.
Mm-hmm. It seems like males, Jafar was a male, can average 14 to 24 inches long. So, you know, a foot to 2 feet long. It's not like it's a, you know, Britney Spears got it over her shoulder to dance. So a little bit smaller. That makes me think it could hide a little bit easier if it's not like a 10 pound.
So in that scenario,
it's like a third of a pound. It would be lightweight.
Yeah. In that scenario, maybe the mom gets there. The snake's already escaped.
Yeah.
And she's doing her thing and it slithers into her purse and she takes it home with her and it's just, she doesn't notice. And then she puts her purse down and then the snake crawls out of the purse at her house and the dog gets it and goes outside and that's where it's found.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he had like an open top bag and if from just like I said, brief Googling, I think that they like to go still in a dark place. So, dude, so like, I'm not trying to thrash about. I'm trying to just.
I like to be still
down.
In a dark, silent place. Often.
It's not a current. It's not an ad for any of our bed sponsors. But when Paris got home out of town, he slipped into the bed. And he went, God, our bed is comfortable. Mm-hmm. But it's just like there's, you know, when you get into your dark and close space. So, I mean, that could have been it too. That if it's like if she's got a bucket bag or even just like a larger, like older over the shoulder purse or something like, yeah, a large canvas bag or a purse, something that if it hid and it was coiled, but then the question would be, then it would have to be have access to the outside or someone lied and like the dog got a hold of it and then it was not like, oh my God, it was in my purse and I just noticed. It's like she's gonna freak out when this snake's dead. We're just gonna be like, I don't know how the snake got there, or they're all part of this disclosure, the phenomenon, I don't, whatever you wanted to call it, and teleportation is part of that, and it teleported and to where it shouldn't have been.
I don't
in the
want
snake.
Snakes. If I can't teleport, a snake shouldn't be able to.
The worst thing to teleport. You're like, goddamn rattler in my corner.
I have two theories. One is something sinister happened with boyfriend or mom that we don't know why it happened, but she took the snake and betrayed her daughter. Second theory, which I'm starting to think is more probable just because her mom, just from this, seems like she, you know, wouldn't do something so cruel. I think the snake was out when the mom got there. It climbed into her bag. She picked up the bag, unknowingly took the snake into her car, drove home, took the bag into her house. The snake crawls out. The dog snatches it in his mouth, goes out the door, doggy door, and then does what dogs do when they catch snakes. And that's in where you found it, in the driveway.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I would agree with that. And maybe like the cage wasn't damaged and the lid was still closed. Nothing looked disturbed. But I wonder if you have like a hinge lid that closes with like a clip, if it's not like the, you know, it gets melted over time because of the lights or whatever, or eventually, you know, and it could just pop it up and then it just automatically goes back down behind it. Like, you know, you're leaving out of a place and the door shuts behind you. The snake leaves out of the cage and the lid shuts behind it.
Maybe.
And then that's how it got out. But man, I would love to hear all of our listeners' theories, because this is one where if this feels like when I taught my nieces the Incredible Machine game, I'm like, there's a way, there's an answer to this. We've got to just like figure out what goes where, like how this could have happened. It's like a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah. I tend to go Occam's razor. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I would say the only logical explanations are it crawled in your mother's bag, or the mother intentionally took it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's,
or the boyfriend. Maybe the boyfriend was there too. I don't know. But
Yeah, that's what feels weird about it is that it was not just, oh, I found it. It was like, and it was dead by the time I found it. I'm so sorry.
By her boyfriend's dog, which I don't know.
Specifically.
That sticks with me for whatever reason.
Yeah, the little detail. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting, especially if it's like, oh, they're friendly. My parents are divorced, but friendly.
Yeah,
and there's
exactly.
A boyfriend in the picture. There could be that as well. Interesting. Well, thank you both, Lexi and Mel, for letting us analyze this.
Dude, yeah.
Claim. Man, I'm going to think about this mystery snake.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Jafar. You didn't deserve this, buddy.
No, and great name, by the way, for a snake.
Yeah.
And I hope that we get even more answers and possibilities from our wonderful listeners, because I know a lot of y'all have snakes or mm-hmm. work at zoos with snakes. So maybe there's something we haven't even thought of. Let me throw out a third theory. Jafar loved Mel's mom. And when she walked in, he was like so excited that he crawled out. And then he was like, no, don't leave. And as she was walking out the door to leave, he slithered out real fast and then slithered all the way to her house to try and be like, I followed you. And then the dog got it.
He's like, hey, leave that zero and get with a hero. Poor Jafar. He was trying to shoot his shot.
He
and
was.
The dog got him.
Aww.
Well, bless his heart. May he live on and over the. He slithered across the rainbow bridge.
Yeah. Well, thank you to everyone who sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you've felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy you caught on camera? Jafar on a ring cam? Have
you
found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's completely free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access, unedited access. There's a whole lot of content that's up there just for free members too. And now we are doing a special 24-hour code. If you're on Sunday Scaries, we let y'all come up with the code. This past week, it was crotch.
Crotch, 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 crotch.
And for 24 hours after the stream ends, any new members can sign up at any tier and get 50% off that tier. And you can stack that on top of an annual membership. So you're getting a free month and a 50% off month just for doing it right, honestly.
Boom.
Gaming the
system. Yeah, right. Yeah, get that deal, baby. Get that deal. When you sign up, and if you're not sure about what we're doing over on Patreon, we also offer free trials. We have a free membership where you get stuff there, but we have a free trial where you join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all of the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around, you get so much stuff.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content. We let you all vote on what segment you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the 5 stars and kind words everyone's left. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists. And
take me to the Bahamas, baby. Take me on down.
I'm trying to play steel drums, but it didn't come across that way. But Crime Wave at Sea 2027, February 8th through 12th. Join us and so many other true crime creators for an epic week of sailing the high seas, getting drunk together, seeing karaoke, seeing badass shows from people in the top of the game, making new friends, sitting on the floor, slumber party style, listen to our listeners' insane stories. So yes. These are all things that happened, and I can't wait for them to happen again.
It's like real life Freaky Friday, but only a handful of us, and we're just like sat literally with you, asses on the carpet, like, tell me everything. Yes,
it's great.
We cannot wait. God, it's such a blast. And like I said, I'll write about you in my diary. Go to crimewaveatsea.com, use code SINISTER, and get $100 off your stateroom, plus a meet and greet with us. You get to hang out with us. The fellows from Browntown, Forgotten Fiction, are coming.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
coming too. So don't forget that.
Yep, they'll be there. And tickets are almost gone. The interior staterooms are at a they do have some of the more affordable rooms still available. So check those out. You can go to our Discord server. We have a channel for people that are trying to find roommates for the cruise or just talk about it in general. So you can get hooked up there too.
Hell yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. It's a great gift for the person in your life who's navigating this Father's Day, where they're celebrating it as their first time as a father. They're celebrating as their first Father's Day without their father. And they want a little pep talk from us. We know it's a rough time. And we're happy to do a pep talk, do a tarot pull, or celebrate a very a Father's Day for a dad in your life who loves Sinisterhood. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood now through Father's Day. They're on sale, just $20. So get those booked for before. It's the gift that keeps on giving, because you can just rewatch it anytime and get that fuzzy feeling from us. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.